Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Well, church, how exciting. We are in our Easter campaign, and we want to say today, if you're a guest, if you are joining us for the first, second, third time, we want to say a massive welcome to you. And so I want everybody, every location, come on, let's all put our hands together. Let's cheer, let's shout, throw a chair in the air, do something. Let's thank God for all these guests. We want to welcome you. And you will have already heard this in our service today, but we exist to help people know Jesus, find community and discover purpose. And that's our heart for you today. And so we're so glad you're here. We have much to celebrate, so many great things happening. We've had our Romans campaign. And who loved that? Did you love that? Come on, put your hand up. Be honest, be real. Come on, talk to me. How good was going through the book of Romans, reading through it, unpacking in our connect groups, such a good time. And we really dove into the gospel that is perfect because now we're coming into Easter. And Easter is such a significant time in the kingdom of God. It's a significant part of all we are about as the church. And so if you are a guest, you came at such a good time. You're going to love this. We wanted to say a little celebration thing. As a church, we've been talking about being purposed for others this year. The banner over our year is that we would be a church purpose for others. And we wanted to celebrate Ginny and Linton Parker and Ian and Kayleen Harry, who as a connect group have been out in the community helping a local family. You're going to see some footage of that just here. And we just want to celebrate that because that's so wonderful. That's who we are as a church. That's what it means to be a church purpose for others, that we're moving from consuming church to being the church, from something that it's about us to really being others orientated. And that's what we believe in. And that's what we believe the gospel is all about. So everybody, can you clap again? Put your hands together for Ian and Kayleen, Ginny and Linta. So good, guys. Now, what's really cool is we have a thing called Go Week. Go Week is coming up. Go Week is, let me get this right, Go Week. We're going to be looking at Go Week on the 28th, from the 28th of May. And so that means you have 2 weeks in our connect groups, 2 connect weeks to start planning and prepping for what we can do on that Go Week in May to go and serve, bless, be generous, and do acts of kindness in our local community. So let's jump on that. Be ready. It's going to be awesome. Okay. We're looking today at the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Next week, we're going to be looking about, because it's Good Friday next week, and then Easter Sunday, we're looking at how the death of Jesus changed everything on Good Friday. Come to one of our hubs, West, North, Silverwater, Oxford Falls. We want to invite our whole church, come and be in the room together as we celebrate Good Friday, talking about how his death changed everything. Then on Easter Sunday, we're going to be celebrating his resurrection. His resurrection changed everything. And so we're going to have such a great day of celebration. Then as we go through the month of April, we're going to be talking about how Easter has changed the way we live. It's changed how we live now. We're going to be talking about how it's changed the way we connect, how we relate. The gospel is vertical and horizontal. Then we're talking about how we are changed from death to life. Now, guys, Baptism Sunday is after that. We have Baptism Sunday on the 7th of May. And you're going to see some more photos. How good is that? Some more photos of baptism. So what we're going to encourage you to do, if you are not baptized, if you would like to be baptized, if you would like to take that step of moving from death to life in Christ, it's symbolic of what Jesus has done in our lives. If you want to get baptized in May, go to our website, talk to your Connect Group leader, come and see us at the Next Step Lounge. But on our website, there's a video and there's a sign-up form. You go to our website, c3syd.church, and you can sign up to be baptized. It is going to be such an incredible time. Baptism Sunday is always amazing. All right, so we're going to be talking about how Jesus' life changed everything. And the thing you need to understand about Jesus is when Jesus arrived, he was not what people were expecting. Jesus was not what people were expecting. He was very different to anything they had ever seen, ever would see, and will ever see today for us too. Jesus, he didn't meet the expectation that the people had of the coming and foretold Messiah. The surprise was not that the Messiah was coming. They knew there was a Messiah coming. They knew God was sending a Savior. They knew this very well, but the surprise was not the Messiah arriving. The surprise was how he came. He did not come like any teachers of the law. He did not fit the mold. Jesus did not fit the description of a nice teacher, a good moral example, or an exceptional prophet. His claims were far too drastic to be a nice moral teacher. His claims were far too radical to just be another good rabbi. Jesus made claims like, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life, the way, the truth, the life. He made that claim bold. He made claims like that God was his own father. He made the claim that he is the son, not a son, the son of God. He was far too drastic. His claims were too big to just be another nice teacher. So what was it about the life of Jesus that changed everything? What was it about the life of Jesus? We're going to go to the book of Mark. You got your Bible there today? Come on, wave at me if you got your Bible. You got a digital device. You got a Samsung. We love it. You got an iPhone. We love it. A little more. You got whatever you got. Whatever you got, grab your digital device and we're going to go to the book of Mark. I want you to know about the book of Mark. The book of Mark, it's one of the Gospels and it's the Gospel according to Mark. Mark was also known as John Mark. And John Mark, he was very close to Peter the Apostle. And so when John Mark is writing the book of Mark, he's actually writing according to the eyewitness accounts of Peter. He is scribing Peter's experiences, eyewitness experience of Jesus. And Mark, he writes the book of Mark. Mark then goes on. John Mark is also the cousin of Barnabas. We read about Barnabas in the book of Acts. And John Mark is the cousin of Barnabas. And Paul, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they have a barney about John Mark and they have a disagreement about John Mark. And Barnabas says, well, I believe in John Mark. He needs to come with me. We're going to give him a second chance. He's coming with me. Paul says, you take him. I'm taking Silas. And Paul and Barnabas took two different guys and went two different directions. John Mark that went with Barnabas, cousin of Barnabas, is the Mark that wrote the gospel according to Peter's eyewitness accounts. And so that's what we're going to read. We see in the book of Mark, it's kind of broken down into two sections. Part one is the identity of Jesus, the mighty Messiah and Son of God. Part two is the mission of Jesus, the suffering servant of the Lord. And there's a lot of key themes in the book of Mark, a lot of great themes in the book of Mark, but the theme we're really going to be highlighting and looking at and what it means that he changed everything, we're going to be looking at that Jesus is the Son of Man with all power and authority. All power and authority. Okay, so we're going to turn to the book of Mark. Grab your Bible. We've got a big Bible on the screen for you. And I'm going to take the pen. Are you ready? And we're going to read this. We're going to Mark 1:21-22. Mark 1:21-22 says this. They went to Capernaum, which is northern Israel. And when the Sabbath, hey, there it is, the Sabbath, Capernaum there, the Sabbath came, Sabbath, Shabbat, the day of rest, the day of worship, Jesus went into the synagogue. He went into the temple. This is the place where people came to worship the Jews. And he began to teach. So Jesus didn't just teach to crowds by the lake, by the Sea of Galilee. He also taught in temples, in the synagogue. And when he taught, what you got to remember is people were always teaching in the synagogue. And there was always sermons. There was always rabbis teaching. But my guess is where it says the people were amazed at his teaching is that it was likely that there hadn't been a lot of amazing teaching for a while. They were amazed. They were stunned. They were shocked. They were thinking, wow, who is this guy? As soon as he started to teach. And here's why his teaching was amazing. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. One who had authority. And look what it says after. Not as the teachers of the law. That was the difference. Here we see the distinct difference between Jesus and the teachers of the law. They both taught in the synagogue, but one had authority and the other didn't. And then we read on. It says, just then, a man in their synagogue, so he was actually in the synagogue, who was possessed by an impure spirit. Now, this was action-packed. I mean, they are in the synagogue and a man that is possessed by an impure spirit. I mean, the Bible is amazing. It's crazy. It's very exciting. The Bible is not boring. And this guy, he walks in with an impure spirit. He's got a demonic spirit. And it says to Jesus, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Look at this. The enemy, the demon, knew who Jesus was. Jesus has so much authority that everybody knows who, that the spiritual realms know who he is. And it names him Jesus of Nazareth. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. Even the devil knows who Jesus is. And then we read on. Jesus didn't have a conversation. He didn't try and explain it. He didn't try and break down. He did it in 7 points in a poem. He said, be quiet. Be quiet. He spoke to it. He has authority to tell the demon, be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. So he's not trying to diagnose or break it down with this guy. He's just giving commands because he has authority. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Action packed. The people were all so amazed. There it is again. They're amazed at his authority and they're amazed at the power that his authority has. That they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching. So they're recognizing there's a new teaching here. This is not what we're used to. This is not the same old teaching. There's something new here. A new teaching and, shock horror, with authority. Woo! It was a new teaching with authority, something they were not used to. He gives orders. He gives orders. He doesn't have conversations. He gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. They obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Come on, isn't that so amazing? What's happening here in this passage of scripture? Three things I want you to catch today about who Jesus is. Why did Jesus' life change everything? Number one, he came with authority. Jesus came with authority. When we see the reaction of people to Jesus, time and time again throughout scripture, we see that people remark, not just, wow, what he says, but that he has authority. You see this all through scripture. Mark 1:27, a new teaching we just read, but with authority. 2:10, we read in Mark, authority to forgive sins. Mark 3:15, we read authority to drive out demons. Mark 6:7, authority to empower others. What was common to the Jewish people was that the people who represented God, they had title, they had appearance, they had knowledge, but Jesus had something more. Listen to me, church. Jesus had something more than just title, than knowledge, than appearance. Jesus had more than that. Jesus came with authority, and this is why he changes everything, because he hasn't come just with some nice thoughts, some nice principles. Jesus is not the representation of some nice new thinking. Jesus has authority. Jesus came with authority. Jesus spoke with authority. Jesus represented the authority of God, and that's who Jesus is, and it's his authority that changes everything. Changes everything. And so we read that the people were amazed at his teaching because he told them it had authority, not as the teacher of law. So they were used to people that taught, but not people with authority. And I pray that we would never be people who teach without authority, because you have authority by what you're under. The only reason we have authority is because authority flows. And even Jesus, he put himself under the authority of his Father in heaven. Look at Philippians 2:6 to 8. It says, who, being Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were operating in the name of God. They were presenting themselves in the name of God, but they were not under God. Very different. They represented God, but they were not submitted to God. And in fact, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus is very harsh. He's very direct. Look at what he says in John 8:44. He says, you, he's talking to the Pharisees, are of your father, the devil. Woo! And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. They were presenting and representing God. They were standing before people in the name of God, but they were not submitted to God. They were submitted, according to Jesus, to their father, the devil. They had aligned with a religious spirit and it got stuck in tradition, and they were presenting God, but they were not under God. May it be that we are always under the authority of Jesus. Jesus came with authority, and that's why he changed everything. When you hear the voice of authority, when you experience someone who has authority, it is different. It captures your attention. It's like Oakland. When Oakland is around the house, and let's say there's a bunch of people over, there's this incredible thing that happens. People might be calling them, Oakland, Oakland. Oakland, Oakland, come here, come here, come play with this truck or whatever. Come kick the ball, come play golf. Not golf, but come play lawn bowls. Come do something, come and eat some food. And people are saying, Oakland, Oakland, Oakland. But something happens when I say his name. It's so awesome. When I say, hey, Oakland, come here. He knows. It's like he can't even see me, but he can hear my voice, and he goes, he literally goes, and turns and looks at me. He's either got a cheeky smile or he starts frowning because he knows he's in trouble. But when he hears my voice, he can hear the authority, the God-given authority that I have as his dad. He notices it. And this is the authority that God has. This is not a voice This is not, we're not talking about Jesus who's just a nice guy. We're talking about Jesus who has and he came with authority. Amen. Why don't you thank God that he has authority? Come on, church, put your hands together. Come on, everybody. Let's thank Jesus that he has authority over the devil, authority over sickness, authority over sin, authority over fear, authority over condemnation. He has authority. Amen. Number two, his authority came with power. The Gospel of Mark parallels the ministry of the Pharisees and Jesus. There's this parallel, there's this comparison. One came with laws and legislations, just like the philosophers of the Greco-Roman culture, but Jesus was the whole package. He had it all. He had wisdom, he had authority, and power. And here's the deal. Jesus' authority came with power. It was always followed up with power. We read in Mark 1, lepers were made clean. We read in Mark 2 and 3, diseases were healed. We read in Mark 4, he calmed the sea. We read in Mark 6, he walked on water. We read in Mark 5, he raised the dead. Jesus's authority comes with complete power. This is amazing. Does anyone remember Narnia? Do you remember Narnia? Narnia, old book C.S. Lewis. They made it into a BBC series. They made it into a few movies. I grew up on this. I loved Narnia. And I remember there's this scene, there's this moment where Susan asks Mr. and Mrs. Beaver whether Aslan, who is the representation of Jesus in the story, and he's a lion, she asks the beavers if Aslan is safe. Is he safe? And Mr. Beaver replies, safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. And he's the king, I tell you. This is the authority and the power of Jesus. He's not safe. He's not this comfortable safe. He has power. He didn't just come with words. Here's the deal. When Jesus came, people didn't need more words. They didn't need new philosophies or new laws. They needed ability to be forgiven. They need ability to be set free. They needed the ability to be healed. They needed the ability to walk in a new life. And this is what Jesus brings. This is what our world needs today. Mark 2, 10 to 11, it says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. So we see in this moment, Jesus's authority is matched by his power. He has the authority to forgive sins and the power to say, get up and take your mat. He had follow through like nobody else. And Jesus made bold claims, but he backed them up. His authority came with power. I like how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And we want you to know today that sometimes it can seem like the world is just about talk and talk. Jesus is not here to just add talk to your life. Jesus is here and he brings authority and power, the ability to change, the ability to be saved, the ability to be healed, the ability to be forgiven. Number three, the purpose of his authority was to serve. In Mark 8, we see it's a critical turning point in Mark's gospel. From this kind of episode onward, the focus now is on the cross. And three times in the following three chapters, Jesus predicts his suffering and death. And we see that he is now predicting how he's going to die and he's going to pay for the sins of the world so that we might be set free, so that we might be reconciled to God. And the predicted authority the Messiah would come in was a kind of authority that would kill, assume control, and overthrow the Roman Empire. But that was not the authority, and that was not the purpose of the authority that Jesus came with. The purpose of his authority was to serve. The purpose of his authority was to die. Peter gets confused about Jesus' purpose and his authority. We see this in Mark 8, 27 to 33. It says, and Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And we know this story. Peter pipes up and he says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, well done. That's true. I am the Christ. Peter got that much right. He got who Jesus was, but he missed how Jesus was going to bring his authority and bring his kingdom into the earth. We know he missed it because in verse 31 it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And then look at this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This is hilarious. Peter says, hey, Jesus, come here. We need to talk. What are you talking about, Jesus? You're wrong. In Matthew 16, 22, we see this extra bit of dialogue. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Verse 33, back in Mark, it says, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus rebukes Peter, and in rebuking Peter, he's rebuking Satan because he's saying the enemy wanted to do everything he could to stop Jesus dying on the cross. The enemy wanted to do everything he could to make Jesus use his authority, not to serve, but to lord. We see this when Jesus goes to the desert. He's in the desert and the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. This is in Matthew 4, and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you, verse 9, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The purpose of his authority was to serve. Jesus came to lose so that we could win. And here's the thing, authority in our society is so often positioned in such a way that we fear it, we're suspicious of it, and we don't trust it. And that is often for good reason. Often for good reason, we have grown to not trust authority because authority has been misused. So many times authority has been used for selfish gain. So many times authority has been used for personal endeavors. But I want to encourage you, this is not who Jesus is. His authority is not for his personal endeavor. His authority came to serve to the point. He came to serve to the point of death. He died so that you and I could live. This is the purpose of his authority. And no other teacher, no other rabbi is like Jesus. No other person in history is like Jesus. He washed the disciples' feet. He did everything to serve. He used his power and authority to bring life and healing. And this changed everything and will change everything in your life. We want to encourage you today, in just a moment, team, you can join me. We're going to have an opportunity for you to receive Christ. And as you receive Christ, we want you to know all he says is just come. Come to him. He's not here to damage you, to force you. He's here to serve. And we know he came to serve because he died. The proof of his service was that he died on the cross in obedience to God so that you and I could have eternal life. So what is so different about Jesus that it changed everything? Number one, he came with authority. Number two, his authority came with power. And number two, the purpose of his authority was to serve. He was not like the teachers of the law, like the people remarked. He taught and he lived and he outworked his life with authority and power. And maybe you're here today and you need to receive the authority. You need to encounter the authority and the power of God, not maybe from your perspective of what authority is. Authority here to get you in trouble. Authority here to put a ceiling on your life. This is authority that comes to serve, that comes to lay its life down so that you can live. And so, church, as we come into Easter next week, as we celebrate Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to have the best time together. But right now, in just a moment, I'm going to hand over to the team, but I want to pray as we enter into this Easter season together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you for your authority. Lord, that you have authority. You came in authority and power. But we thank you, Lord, that your authority and power came to serve. And so, Father, we thank you that we are reminded of what you've done for us, that you love us so much so that you would send your only begotten Son. So we pray, Lord Jesus, for many to experience the wonderful, the amazing glory and power and serving authority, serving heart that you have towards us. In Jesus' name, they all said, Amen. Church, we love you. It's going to be such a good month. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.